Thank you, Tony and Barbara. That's a beautiful rendition of a beautiful song and so appropriate for what I want to be thinking about today. As I said, it is, as you all know, it is Labor Day weekend. And so I wanted to spend a little time talking about our work in the world, what we labor in. And in talking about it, I wanted to think not in the sense of just a job or a career, but basically what we do in the times that we're not here. And so for some, this might be a time of retirement. You may have worked your entire life, and now you're in a time of retirement. For others, you might be a student, and so you really haven't begun to work in that same sense, where you get paid for your work. Others of you might be working in a more traditional job. Some of you might have the work of trying to find work, especially in our economy. And so all of us have something that we're supposed to be spending our lives doing in this time. And so that's what I really wanted to be thinking about on this Labor Day weekend. One of the great joys of work is being able to work with other people. Most of us have that opportunity, and it's a real blessing when you get a chance to work with somebody who has a great sense of humor. If you've ever worked with somebody like that, you know what a great blessing that could be. I came across some things that I wanted to share with you that come from a particular industry, and that's the airline business. Some of you might be pilots out there. I'm told that pilots and engineers have this thing that they call gripe sheets. And so as a pilot comes back from a flight, they will write down anything that they think needs to be taken care of in some way. And then the engineers will do, or the ground crew will do, whatever they're supposed to do, and then write on that same sheet their response, what they had to do. And so these were some supposedly true that the pilots wrote down and that the engineers responded with. Pilots wrote down, left inside main tire almost needs replacement. The engineers wrote, almost replace left inside main tire. Pilot wrote, test flight okay, except Autoland very rough. The response, Autoland not installed on this aircraft. Pilot wrote down, DME volume unbelievably loud. The engineers wrote back, DME volume set to a more believable level. Friction locks, the pilots wrote, cause throttle levers to stick. The engineers wrote back, that's what friction locks are for. Engine number 3 missing, the pilot wrote. Engine found on right wing after brief search. The pilot wrote, aircraft handles funny. The engineer responded, aircraft warned to straighten up, fly right, and be serious. The pilot wrote, target radar hums, to which the engineers responded, reprogram target radar with lyrics. And the last one, noise coming from underneath the instrument panel sounds like a midget pounding on something with a hammer, to which the engineers responded, took hammer away from midget. Well, we'll get a little bit more serious now as we turn towards the scripture. I wanted to share with you this morning portions of Psalm 90, and this is found on page 536 of your pew Bibles. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 17. And like many of the Psalms, it reminds us about who God is and what God can do in our lives. But I invite you to listen also for a message that might be for us in our labors, what we are doing in the world. So let's hear God's word for us this day. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth of the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Shall we bow our heads? Lord God, we thank you for calling us to be your people. We thank you for giving us gifts and abilities. We thank you for giving us our imagination and creativity. And we thank you for that most powerful gift of all, our love that makes us restless until we find our true work and give our lives to its doing. And so be with us now and fill us again with your truth and your presence and your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of the challenges that the church of our time faces is a sense of disconnect between what we do here, kind of our Sunday selves, and what we do during the rest of the week. It's always been, I think, an issue for the church for 2,000 years, but I have a sense that it might even be more pronounced now, this sense of disconnect that we have, this disconnect between church and the rest of our lives. How do we bring those two things together? Some of the writers who think about these things talk about a Sunday-Monday gap. Maybe that's one way to think about it. Kind of the sense of disconnection between the two. And maybe for some of you, you think about this time, you think about church as a time to get away from the world. It's a time of rest. Maybe you have a work situation that is stressful or difficult. And so maybe this is a time of a respite for you, a time of rest. And we can certainly understand that. I think all of us have been in that place. I know for part of my life, church was the one thing that I look forward to on Sunday morning because it did give me a chance to disconnect from the rest of my life. But maybe our call is really to be thinking about church and how we can connect those two things. I once saw a sign in a store that said that if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you ought to be here 5 minutes before quitting time. Maybe that's one way to connect work and church. But I'm thinking about ways that might be even deeper than that, than just a little sign that's there. And so the question is, how can we connect these two things? How can we make our faith flow through not just who we are on Sunday, but who we are during the rest of the week? And the word that comes to me as I think about ways that we might do that is the word integrity. And when we hear that word, we might think about it in terms of our character or how moral we might be, and certainly integrity can encompass all of those things, but I'm thinking about it really in the literal sense of what integrity means, and that is to be one, to be integrated, being whole. And so as we think about our two selves, our two worlds, maybe integrity is one way that we can try and bring those two things together, that we might feel whole, that we might feel one. What do we find here? What do we hear as we come to church on Sunday that we can take with us out into the rest of the week? What do we find here that will make a difference in those other places? What will bring those two selves that we feel that we're being split into one? Well, a couple of things come to mind. I often talk about our identity, who we are. And I think that that might be one thing that we can hear on Sunday morning, that we can take in God's Word for us, that will help us the rest of the week. And as I think about identity, one of the things that I think about most is baptism. Something that we do here on a pretty regular basis. And as we think about baptism, we often think back to Jesus' baptism and how, as he's coming out of the water, being baptized by John, he hears God's voice telling him that he is his beloved child. And that's something that is important to me and something that I think can change lives. You know, each January, at least since I've been here, we do this little thing in January when our scripture reading is talking about that baptism of Jesus. We have a remembrance of our own baptisms, and I invite you to come forward, and we have the font here. And I take the water and not baptize, but bless and touch your head with that water of baptism, and invite you to remember who you are, who God made you to be, and to let you remember that you also are God's beloved child. And you should see your faces when you come forward. I always and often say it's one of my favorite services just for that reason. As people come forward, it's like they remember something that they had forgotten, that I am God's beloved child. And so I think that one of the things that we can take with us, that we can hear in some way or fashion every Sunday morning, is who we are, who God made us to be. And then letting that identity not slip away from us on Monday morning, but letting that identity rest with us all the time and letting that identity shape us, letting our identity shape our lives, not letting our lives shape our identity. And that's not always an easy thing to do. I think another thing that we might receive on a Sunday morning here in church and God's Word and the hymns is a sense of purpose. What is our purpose? If I were to ask you that, I'll bet many of you would find it hard to come up with an answer. Why am I here? What is my purpose? We know that we're called to live our faith. We know that. But the challenge of how we do that, Monday through Friday or whatever our time of work is, can be a real challenge. Most of us aren't the type to bring a Bible to work and break it out in the middle of a staff meeting and share God's Word as blatantly as that. Maybe some would, but for most of us, finding an appropriate way, a good way, a faithful way to do that can be a challenge for us. And I think the way to answer that challenge is to, not surprisingly, think of Jesus and how Jesus lived his life. As we look at Jesus' life, in almost every situation, what we see Jesus doing is healing. We certainly see him doing physical healings. We see relationships being healed as Jesus comes into them. We see institutions being healed. And we see a healing of what we fear most through Jesus, and that is death. And so what Jesus is constantly doing is healing. And maybe that is a sense that we can take with us to bring our purpose to be healers in wherever we go, whatever our work is, whether it's school or a job or looking for work. In almost every situation that we face, there is a chance to be healing, to be a healer. And so maybe that is a sense of purpose that we can take with us from here out into whatever we're doing Monday through Friday. And when we have that sense that in everything that comes towards us, every challenge that we face, when we have a sense that we are called to be a healer in that situation, to try and heal whatever we are faced with, then I think we have a real sense about doing God's work. Because we know that that's what Jesus did. And when we can have that same sense about our work, about our lives, then we have a sense that what we are doing in the world is sacred and maybe even holy. And what a great gift that is for us. I think we will never feel our purpose more than when we can offer that in our work situations. Maybe it's with our coworkers, maybe it's with fellow students, maybe it's people that we just come in contact with. When we do that, just as Jesus' work in being a healer was transforming to other people's lives, then so our work can also be transforming. I think another sense that we can take with us, that we certainly see in Jesus' life, is asking ourselves the question about, in whatever work we're doing, are we just carrying ourselves? When we go to work, whatever our work is, when we go to school, are we the only one that we're worried about? Is our work just so that we can make a living? That's certainly important. But if we're serious about trying to find ways to live a life that Jesus lived, then we know that it can't be just about ourselves. Our first concern just can't be ourselves. Because it's not just how we make a living, but it's how we live. And so, caring others within our consideration about everything that we do, especially in those healing situations, is perhaps another way that we can take what we receive here and live it into the rest of our lives. And when we do that, we find that our lives do become sacred. They have a sense of the sacred about them. Do you have that sense now? When you go to work, when you go to school, when you come home, are you just exhausted, or do you have a sense that what I have done today has made a difference, that it has been sacred? When we think about these things, a word that always comes to mind for me is the word vocation. And that comes from the Latin, and it means to be called. And we think perhaps just of ordained ministers as ones who are called, but it certainly is more than that. And that each of us has a vocation. Certainly one of the great truths of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, was the idea that all of us have a ministry, that all of us have a calling, that all of us have a vocation in our lives. And when we think about it in that way, we understand that vocation is more than just our job or our profession or our career. Vocation, when we think about it this way, refers to the centering commitments and to the true vision, the real vision that shapes what our lives are really about. Vocation, when we think about it that way, when we think about it in the fullest sense that we can, it gives a larger purpose to our lives. It gives a context to our lives. It gives coherence to our lives. And it does give our life integrity. It makes it whole. And not only that, it gives us courage and it gives our lives meaning. True meaning. And when we see what we do, whatever we do, as vocation, as a calling, then it links us with the purposes of God. We see that our purpose, that we might not have been so sure about, is God's purpose. And the two are the same. And that is our work. That's what we're supposed to do as we go from here, as we leave on Sunday morning and face whatever Monday is going to bring. It's the fulfillment of that identity that I was talking about, that sense of belovedness, and the sense that we are here, each of us is here for a reason, an important reason, and a reason that others depend upon. Because we can't always be our own healer. Sometimes God needs to work through other people, and sometimes God can work through us so that we can be a healing presence to others. Our call, as we think about vocation, our call is ultimately to follow Him. That's what we're called to do. Not outside of our work, but to follow Him from here right into our lives, whatever our lives are, whatever we're facing in the moment. Our call is to follow Him. You may have noticed in the bulletin that quote from Barbara Brown Taylor, a minister, and how she was trying to discern what she was to do with her life. And when she was fully open to God, what she heard was that God said, "You can do whatever pleases you. Just belong to me." Maybe we can take that with us as well. And so, maybe you do feel that coming here on a Sunday morning for an hour or so is a refuge. I certainly understand that. And maybe that you feel that out there is kind of the real world. And if I can get away from it for an hour, I'll be happy with that. But I want to suggest that maybe this is the reality. What we find here is the reality. And that we are called to take it with us as we go from here. And to share it and to live it. To be that healing presence. To remember who we really are. God knows that what we do, our labors, our work, is important. Because He's given it to us. God knows that our work is important. It's not just something to fill the time between Sunday mornings. That time is our real lives. And so Sundays are a reminder of some ultimate truths that we can be refilled with again and then taken and go out to whatever we face, whatever our lives are, good or bad, difficult or easy, joyful or full of sorrow. However stressful your job is, however joyful your job is, we can take what we receive here and we can make a difference. Maybe the psalmist said it better when he said these words, and really it's a blessing. "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O Lord, prosper the work of our hands." May that be so for whatever our work or labors are. May God prosper the work of our hands. Amen.